Welcome to the planning board meeting on August 20th, 2025. The time is 6:30 PM.
I'd like to call the August 20th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Judy, here. Mark, Florida. Tim, here. Brian.
Yeah.
Dave.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
And Kevin.
Here.
Got it. Okay. So first up on the agenda, informational hearing, applicant Jim and Terry George, 858 North Road, Candia, New Hampshire, and Matt Phillips, 440 North Road, Candia. Owners, unknown, 74 High Street, New Hampshire. Property location, North Road, Candia, New Hampshire, map 403, lot 9. Discuss the purchase of land that would benefit the town and the environment. I yield the floor.
Hi, I'm Matt, and we are here because, as you well know, the town is planning to auction off some of its property that it owns, and there are a couple of lots the town may own that we're interested in acquiring. And we're trying to make a case that these lots may be better transferred directly to us for reasons that I'll get into in a second, rather than going through the auction process. So I'm just going to read really quickly the relevant section of the statute so we kind of know what the heck we're talking about here. And this is part of the RSA 8080, which covers the whole auction and sealed bid process that towns normally go through. But it says, the governing body may, by a specific article in the town warrant or by ordinance, be authorized to dispose of liens or tax deeded properties in a manner other than as provided in this section, meaning other than as an auction. As justice may require, and that's the key phrase, the governing body has to make an affirmative finding that it's in the, doing it an alternate way is in the public interest. And then for the purposes of this section, as justice may require means a bunch of things. They list it. One of them is sell undeveloped parcels to abutters for consolidation into adjoining lots for the purpose of preserving open space. So that's the sort of context in which we're talking about. For you guys, the initial ask is to say, you know, we're going to present the plan. You're going to say, that sounds great, hopefully. Maybe you will want to tell the select board, hey, this seems like a good idea to us. You should explore it. Later in the process, if it actually gets to that stage, then it will come back to, I assume, the planning board in order to do all the lot line, you know, figure out how that is actually gonna work. So, with all of that as context, what we're talking about here are two lots, which, if you turn over to the backside, the simple map, are the two lots that are marked 23 and 23A. This is a 1980 Candia tax map, number 93, where you can see these two lots were at one point considered to be somehow related, and it turns out they were both owned by somebody named Goldie Garland, and the town in the late 50s tax deeded 34 acres from her. There's the one lot is the 12 acres and the other lot is 34. It says 22 on this map. I'm not sure why. And subsequently, it seems like the town kind of forgot about it because the 12 acre lot is now on today's map as 4039 with owner unknown. And the 34 part of that parcel disappeared. And on the map, looks like maybe it's part of 40485, which is the Fostier property, but that's not right. So there's a little bit of a mystery here of what happened, what did the town actually tax deed, and what happened to it subsequently that everyone forgot about it, that the town owns it. So we went to the select board last week and said, hey, we think you own these, you know, you may wish to investigate. And if it turns out that you do, then we'd like to, you know, talk about doing something other than putting it through auction. So it's still, there's still a lot of open question marks in this whole process. These lots are, the 12 acres is right off of the very end of North Road and is across North Road from the lot that I just purchased, which is 40310, and immediately to the west of the George property, which is 4038. And all of these, this is both obviously on the Hooksett, right on the Hooksett border. The 34 acre lot, which again doesn't show up on the tax map anymore, is connected to Knowlton Road. But of course, Knowlton Road is discontinued from 200 feet north of High Street all the way to the Hooksett border. And if I could show you, which I have on my laptop, I can show you later, but basically there's a big pond and wetland that covers a big chunk of both of these lots. And these two lots, in addition to abutting the George property and my property, the Foste property, which is 40485, and then Knowlton Road, and across the street from that is the Duhame land. On the other side of the Hooksett border, most of that land, except for one lot, except for lot 411, is all in conservation. And in fact, is part of the 18,000 acre of contiguous forest and wetlands that make up, you know, all the way up into Bear Brook, et cetera. Of which about 10,000 or 12,000, I believe, is either public land or is protected. So the proposal here is to say, instead of the town going through this whole auction process, which has some issues I'll get to in a second, instead of doing that, if you transfer it to us and we consolidate those into our respective lots, then development will essentially be impossible without doing a subdivision, which would require subdividing a lot on a Class 6 road that already has development on it. So it would be definitely an uphill battle for that. And our desire to take those on is obviously so we can have the nice looking pond that's next to us or right across the street from us and be able to kayak on it and watch birds and make sure that nobody ever develops on it. If the town auctions it, there's a couple of issues with that. One is they got to figure out whether they actually own it or not, which may be, the answer to that may be in some tax books down in the basement, I don't know. The town can keep the money that the proceeds up to the amount that they are owed for back taxes, interest, fees, etc. for those lots. Anything above that, they have to go track down the heirs of the former owners of these lots, which in this case, the owner died in 1967 and all of her kids are also dead. So, that would be really challenging. It ends up, I believe the process is they have to turn it over to the state. The state then has to do something with it. They often turn around back to the town and say, well, you're the one that should know where these people might be, and then you need to research it. That costs money, etc. So the optimal goal for the town is to get exactly the amount of back taxes and no more in the auction. Now, the town is concerned because they don't want to turn around and give it to somebody and then have the heirs show up and say, you know, you should have auctioned it because that is the way to, you know, evaluate a fair market value price, and we want some piece of that. Obviously, in this case, that's unlikely to happen given that it's been so long. The other thing that could happen in an auction is that it could go for much less than the town is owed, in which case the town doesn't really get that much out of it. We're concerned because if it does go to auction and either somebody buys it and they don't know that these lots are very difficult to develop, or worse, somebody buys it and knows that we want it, and we're the only buyers, we're the only, you know, really interested parties who can do anything with it, then they've got us over a barrel. So we don't really want to have either of those things happen. And so we went to the Conservation Commission last night and presented this idea. Obviously, they're very excited about it because this takes, you know, approximately 56 acres, and prevents development from happening, essentially, for good. And also protects some very valuable and sensitive wetland areas that are also connected to an enormous stretch of also protected land that means that it has a better chance of it being protected going forward. I'm going to stop there and see what questions you have and if any of that made sense. If you want to see the overlay with the map, with the actual terrain satellite view, I can show you that real quickly.
I just was looking on the GIS system, and it does say owner unknown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those, just so you can see how much of that is actually pond.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And you were saying that this was the headwaters...
This is abutting the Clay Pond Headwaters Conservation Area on the Hooksett side, except for that one lot number, Hooksett number 411. All the rest of those lots on the other side of Hooksett are all part of that Clay Pond.
It also says 42 unknown on that.
I'm sorry?
Which feeds into the Manchester Waterworks.
Why can't I not get this thing to go away?
So out of curiosity, sorry, I don't have my glasses. Faustier family.
They're in Florida. They inherited it from her mother in the 90s. There was just a court case last year where the Duhames were in court to resolve an issue where the Faustier parents gave them, used the old deed, but they had already transferred 25 acres away to predecessor owner of the Duhames. And so the Faustiers thought they had 65. It turns out they only have 40. So that lot that's on the tax map that says 65 is actually only 40. And the other 25 was south of Knowlton Road and already owned by the Duhames.
My only concern with, I guess it's, I don't know the legal standing of that road. I know that the Georges next door had some issues with the property and owning, I guess, like underneath the road or something like that. Are you the Georges?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
the only thing that was wrong was the way the deed was written up.
Okay. So if the, I am an access person. Horses, people. I know the town of Hooksett's been trying to keep a gate up there on their side. I don't know if they've been able to. They keep getting ripped down. But
It's there now.
So they were allowing access, just not vehicle access, I should say. So,
yeah. And their roads, all the roads on the Hooksett side in that area were all discontinued in 1953 squarely.
The vehicle access has significantly decreased since we made the road more drivable and less fun for the side by sides.
Yeah, they go out there less. They still go out there.
So they used to be out there a lot, and now it's
less.
And I was
not because of anything we did, but
well, we fixed the road.
Well, that's true. So it's not as much fun. Mud in the road.
I was here about a couple years ago about the 40310.
Right. I recall.
And I withdrew that application because it turned out to be, it was kind of way too complicated. I may in the future decide that it's worth it and come back to you and say, hey, I would like approval to actually put a house there. Again, that would be one house and it would hopefully have a nice pond view that we know is never going to be anything but a pond view. The nightmare scenario would be somebody buys it, knocks the beaver pond down and drains it, and then says, oh, look at this lovely lot. We'd like to build on it.
But they can't.
Well, you'd hope they could.
They could if they got Class 6 with the variances.
They could get
Class 6.
On the unknown part of the 12 acres.
Right, exactly.
Now, Georges, do you own both sides of that road?
Our son has the top portion and we're at the bottom portion.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, can the land be purchased by them and then deeded to the conservation?
Oh, we wouldn't have any.
Okay, was just something I was wondering.
Right.
To keep
they
it in
can do it, they can pay the taxes on it, you know what I mean? No need for us to get...
Yeah, we're also offering to pay the back taxes so that the town will get as much as they possibly could from an auction, which is whatever they calculate as the tax back taxes and interest. And then, obviously, we'll be paying property tax on it going forward indefinitely. So,
so that dotted line there with a question mark is the assumed border that would have to get surveyed.
Have to get it all resurveyed. And
in order for the town to sell it, they're going to have to survey it, which is going to be, you know, some amount of cost as well. If we do go through with this plan, you know, and everyone's on board with it, then we could pay for the survey, obviously, because we'd be the, you know, beneficiaries of it and not pass that cost along to the town.
So from our perspective, it would just be a lot line adjustment.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys would each take a portion of it. I'd take it.
Yeah, yeah. He'd absorb half, we absorb the other half. Yeah. Is what all we do. All we wanted to
of
we
the
we get rid of a non-conforming lot.
Yes.
Right. So the 12-acre unknown,
yeah,
would be purchased by you or
yeah,
by a joint.
It
no,
it's, we would pay together for you guys to do the lot line adjustment.
Yeah.
So that those two lots would divide between both.
Between two of us. I think there's a few ways to do it.
Right.
One is for me to take the top one and then to take the bottom one. Another is to say, let's just wipe out that line, which, by the way, is not,
really?
It's not also not in the right place.
Right.
And say, let's draw the lot lines the way that they need to be going forward, and then we're all set.
Then, okay, and so this lot line would be corrected
that,
and firm.
That line
correct.
Is a line that should be there that isn't.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And a surveyor would do.
And then these two lots would be co-joined with a lot line adjustment, and then...
This combined lot,
yes.
Part of it you would join with this lot, and part of it you would join with
okay.
this lot.
Matt, can you show me on this map where you imagine that line to be?
Well,
would it be like this?
We don't
yeah.
really know.
Right.
That line probably parallel, you know, in the angle it currently is
mm-hmm.
somewhere in there, and I think.
Take a diagonal and cut it.
Or we could do a diagonal. I think it's a little bit kind of up to all of us to say what makes sense here from a, you know, perspective of the existing lot lines and et cetera. This, the top lot here, the 12-acre one, used to, before 1858, at some point, was part of that and 40310 were all part of the old lot 107 of the 5th Division. So that's one option is we could just say, let's just go back to 1749
yeah. Before the Civil War.
Yeah, and make that you know, make that the one lot, and then the 34 join it with
right.
the
right. So
property.
You can work it out.
Yeah.
So Tim, when Boyd came in previously,
this was not on his list.
This
right.
was not on his list.
Yeah. This is not even on the list of town-owned properties that they would be considering. It's
right.
not on that page.
So this is mystery land.
Yes.
This is the DMZ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
however,
the Bermuda Triangle.
yeah.
However, we think it should be on the list because there's a tax deed from 1958 from the town of Candia saying we're taking it because he didn't pay taxes.
So, I think there could be some complications trying to join the two lots and then separate the two lots. Because it's on a Class 6 road, isn't that something that's coming? Isn't that something that
this isn't a development
ZBA thing?
No, it's not a development. So
oh, no,
it's
just
a lot line adjustment.
And I don't think you're to join.
We're not creating a non-conforming lot. We're just kind of cleaning it up.
Yeah,
yeah. But can you subdivide on a Class 6 road?
No.
But
you can do a lot line adjustment.
Because you're not creating a new lot.
No.
You're not
right.
creating a subdivision. So
we're getting rid of
two lots.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, from my take, from this board's perspective, this is kind of a non-issue, right? And I personally, I think it's a good idea. It gets rid of a non-conforming lot, cleans up something that appears to have fallen into the great abyss.
It's not really up to us, right?
It's not up to us. The only thing that we would have any input on would be
a lot line adjustment,
which
right.
is typically, unless the neighbors go crazy, is an administrative function where we just go.
The neighbors will go crazy.
No,
not this one. Crazy with happiness.
I don't know. There might be a couple of chipmunks out there that might be able to guess that.
I know Boyd said he was going to be checking with the company that's doing
the auction
survey to try to get some clarity on it.
Yeah, I called that lawyer because he had previously connected me about this one, and he said, no, I haven't done anything about this. So.
You hadn't done it yet?
Yeah, okay. No, it's not on. And it, without having the town, I mean, there's nothing he can do other than come back to you guys and say, you gotta give me some more information about this from the town side. You know, we gotta open the tax books from 1958 or something.
Judy, is that piece, -84, 404-84, CCC, is that Canyon Conservation Committee? Commission?
I wrote CCC. It may not technically be CCC, but it's part of conservation.
It's not like...
It's town-owned.
Near the Duhane?
I'm not sure
of that one. That's kind of a weird
It was one
of the properties that the town was looking to sell, yes.
No, they already have it.
The 404-82 or whatever.
84.
84.
Yeah, the town already has that.
Right, but they were looking to sell it and...
No, it's in conservation.
Yeah.
Right. We had a meeting with the select board a couple months ago, and we went through it, and I researched it, and they were looking to sell it.
Oh, okay.
It is CCC. It was decided.
Yeah, so that and on the Hooksett side, 1511, 412, and 410 are all part of the same, the Gagne conservation from 2009.
So
that would be a nice tie-in.
And then 409 and 424 are also owned by Hooksett Conservation.
So we don't take a vote on informationals, but... I don't think that anybody have a problem with.
Unfortunately, other than saying your plan sounds great, it's all on the select board. Unfortunately, right. so they get a lot of work to do. But
what I'm saying is by us all agreeing that this is okay.
Yeah.
Consensus.
Then I can if the select board comes and wants a letter from the board.
Yeah, we heard the proposal and.
I can say, yes, we have no troubles with selling of this land.
Right.
The mechanics of it is somebody else's headache, and it will be one.
Yeah. It's going to be a long battle, but we're willing to do it. If the town ends up doing that battle, it's just going to cost the town more money.
Sure. And ultimately, it's got to go to a warrant article anyway, so everybody gets to vote on it.
Oh, yeah, because it's the legislative body. It's not the select board.
Right. Correct.
The legislative body is the town.
Yeah.
Correct. I was thinking select board, but no, you're right. To not go through the auction,
to do this alternate thing. Yeah. Assuming the town didn't previously authorize the select board to do the alternate method, which I don't know when that happened. Maybe you happen to know when the indefinite authorization was granted.
No, but I don't know.
So does the owner of that piece have access by right of way, by way of the dead Knowlton Road?
No.
Access?
It's discontinued.
It's discontinued.
But if you have property, you must have access to it, right?
By foot or...
Well, that's... In that sticky legal document, it said Duhame and Fostier have access.
They have easements on each other's
Right, so Foster, I don't know that they do.
The boundary line is the middle of the road now, so...
Right,
right. So I'm not sure that 34 acres has any access that way.
It wouldn't.
Right.
Well, that is interesting.
Except from the Hooksett side, that road isn't discontinued up to the town line.
It is. No, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, all the roads on the Hooksett side.
It shows it, but they're all... We're all gated off right now.
There's a gate on the Candia line right now, but that's been busted since we've been there. In the Hooksett side, way down by the waterworks where they hung, I think it's Chester Turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
There is a gate there, and nobody's taken that down.
The Hooksett Conservation Commission patrols up there fairly frequently to make sure that people aren't up there, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing up there.
The Hooksett Fire Department used to do, they have a four-wheel drive truck. I don't know if they still do. They used to go through there for training purposes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty all closed off.
I know we get to ride horses there once a year.
Oh, that's
waterworks.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything else? Are you guys good?
So I think as long as we can tell the select board that we presented to you and you were, you know, saw no problems with your piece of it, then that hopefully clears the way for them to reconsider.
Yeah, if they need a letter from me to that effect.
But any recommendations from this board would just be a help, even if we if we get to the article. You know, the town gets the vote, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, because ultimately it does the town a justice. It is, according to the master plan, at preserving open space and...
It gets it off the books.
Actually, if we're going to have to, might have to put this in a, you know, supporting document for a warrant article, we probably should...
Can I make a motion that we're amenable to the suggestion as stated?
Yeah, and authorizing me to send a letter to the select board as such.
Yep. Second.
Totally.
Second. Yeah, for sure.
Second?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think she seconded.
Yeah.
Second.
But
okay.
I'll vote yes.
All right. So, Judy.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
There we go.
And the Conservation Commission has sent a letter already.
Okay.
It's a draft. So he'll get
draft.
It. He'll get it. That's why you haven't gotten it yet. I got to, yeah.
I
got to check my sentences.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you
so much.
Very much.
Yep.
Very much appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the weirdest situation, though. A lot just kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's troubling.
Yes.
It's troubling that when Boyd came with a list of 19 properties, he didn't know which ones were on conservation already, but this one wasn't even there. So
yeah, and what other pieces of property
are out there floating?
You'll be pleased to know that the auctioneer lawyer, he has a list, and he is going to be, I imagine, quite diligent in working his way down that list because he gets 10% off of the set price of each one of those.
Right, right. There wasn't very much. Did you look at that list?
He has another list.
They actually added, I think, three more? Something like that.
It went from like 19 to 6.
No,
so
no,
yeah,
yeah,
but no, no, no. After
has
that,
his own list.
Oh.
He has not showed to the town yet.
Oh boy!
Here are a bunch of
inside
lots
information.
That are of unknown
just
order.
When you thought it was
ownership.
Safe
he
to go in the water.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
interesting. The Alabama Lanker Road, and there's this one 2,500 square foot lot that's at the right on the Raymond border.
Mm-hmm.
On Roy Road, and all of a sudden there's been some activity. There's a garage on there back in the woods, and all of a sudden stuff's getting taken out of it. So I'm not sure if somebody bought it already or if they've been notified that, hey, this is going to be sold.
Get your stuff out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move out. Interesting. Because yeah, a neighbor could have built a shed out there because...
Well, it makes no sense for anyone to buy it but the guy who's like
right
next to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's activity where there was no activity.
Someone's gone where no one has gone before.
Except to build the place.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks
very
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you.
All right. Anybody got any comments on the minutes?
Okay, I'll look good.
We're getting better and better.
Bonus, Megan, huh?
Yeah.
I can take that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're getting better, that means they suck.
You know what?
Under previous management.
Growth, Tim. There's always room for growth.
Under previous management.
Yeah.
All right. So if nobody's got anything, don't take
make
a motion.
Make a motion to accept the minutes
I'll
of
second
August
that.
6th. As written.
Judy.
Abstain.
That's right. You weren't here. Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin made a huge sacrifice. House full of people. I'm sure Brenda was pleased that you said that. I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gone for a long time.
What are you talking about?
I know.
Well, that's why I had a bunch of folks in town.
Oh, that's right.
I had a family of six at my house for 12 days. And the last meeting was in the middle of their stay, and I said, I have to go, and it was an exceptionally long meeting as well, so it was just
exceptionally long meeting.
Yes.
Mm.
All right, so the next thing up, and you know, I was out of town, and then as I was getting ready for tonight's meeting, I was trying to get this done, and people kept calling me, but I got a draft of the fee schedule that we can chat about here. Oh, I should have kept one for me. Let me keep one for you. I'll catch up.
Good. Oh, you want one for Megan?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. You can make notes.
Everybody.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. You pass it on.
These are the ones that we've previously discussed, right?
Yeah, so I actually just put them in the format. And what I'm thinking is that, too, that we're going to, when we approve these, we're also going to include in that motion that we remove any fees from the subdivision regulations, the minor and major subdivision regulations, and just say, for fees, see Appendix C, so that we don't have, because right now we've got different costs in
right.
four different places that don't match each other.
Yep.
And that way there we got one document to update if each document says see Appendix C.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So these are the costs the costs that I've talked about, and Megan, I want you to jump in here too, because I've asterisked some things that do a time of application, because we had talked about that from an administrative perspective. So we can delete ones that you don't need at the time of application.
Okay.
And also, you know, some of the other things we talked about. So you're involved in this discussion too, because you're going to be the one collecting them. So these were the numbers that we had come up with: 400 for a minor, 800 for a major. We kept a lot of origination fee at 75. We didn't change that.
What does that mean, lot origination?
When we, if you subdivide a lot,
okay,
you pay $75 per lot to
okay,
to so change the tax map.
Okay.
Right.
And so that's not considered a minor. That's just subdividing
that's on top of
single.
That.
Okay, that's on
okay,
top of it.
That's the cost to change the town tax map.
Oh, all right. Got it now.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just an administrative fee to change the town tax maps. So even if you just wanted to split off 4 acres off the back of your property, you'd have to pay to get
that done. All right.
That done. Okay. You know, engineering review and compliance at cost. Boundary line adjustment, we also kept it 50. Abutter notification, we've moved it to 15. Based on postage, but you'll notice the double asterisk down here says subject to change via USPS costs. So we don't have to change that every time postage goes up. Driveway permits at 25, gravel pits at 100. Fire inspection, Dean was good with 50. We're also going to require them to pay for changing the GIS when they do a subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Who owns that? Like GIS, like
who? Right now, it's Stantec that's managing that.
Okay, so if we were to change, they would take ownership of the file, basically. Or the GIS a statewide standard?
Yeah, but when they've got, like, Stantec right now is managing and maintaining. We're hosting it, I believe. But they're managing and maintaining it.
Okay. So it's hosted. We bought the license. It's hosted here. Is that how it goes? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, so that there's a cost to making those changes. And I don't think the town should bear that. If you subdivide a lot or you create a 9-lot, 10-lot subdivision, that the town should have to pay for that GIS mapping changes.
So when the person that auctions off all the properties in town, there's going to be a whole bunch of GIS changes. Who pays for that?
Well, we're trying to do with Stantec, although it hasn't been accomplished in 2 years, we are trying to do an annual sync up with the tax map. right? You know, make, you know, any lot ownerships that have changed, so on and so forth, right? We're 2 or 3 years behind.
Probably more than that. It's been 5 years since we did a lot.
I can't blame that on I can't blame that on Stantec out of hand because I don't know what we gave them for information. But I can tell you that we've got 2 years worth of money in their hands and we don't have anything to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
That I can assure you. So, you know, the town is, we're going to have to pay a maintenance fee every year to do those types of things to no matter who we choose to do it. But, you know, I just figured they're going to, because they're going to have to create a new, you know, a new lot. There should be a cost for that.
Yeah. And they're going to go back into all of, you know, I've only been here 5 years, and we did a plot line adjustment then. So I don't know if there's even more prior to that that hasn't been adjusted. So are they, how far back?
I know it's not accurate in terms of ownership and some of the subdivision pieces, right? Again, I can't tell you
what they're going to be responsible.
Whether that was Stantec's fault, or whether we gave them an old map, or whether I can't tell you where the fault on that lies.
Right. I'm just thinking ahead with some of the building that's been happening, and you know, just one person had to come in and do their map over again because it wasn't correct. So it's how far back?
Right now, we've got encumbered about $3,000 with them to update and maintain the GIS. And right now, the only invoice I've seen was for like $600 for services done.
And what were those services?
Oh, one was a meeting between the two Stantec employees to talk about it. Yeah, so two hours, so double up the $100 and whatever an hour for them to talk about doing an update. And then there were two more hours of them doing something. I don't know what.
You'd be in place.
Can we ask for an itemized
That was the itemized frickin' bill.
Did we pay for lunch too?
Yeah.
Right? No, I'm now searching for an alternative GIS
management
firm. I've got to call Nate and I have chatted via email and we're gonna have a phone call and talk about that. Okay. Because I'm
irked.
Well yeah,
yes,
you gotta
and,
see
and,
what,
and as
yeah,
you are, because you know, you're sitting there going, hey,
where's
why,
the money going?
Right, and why is this not showing up when I know it was done 4 years ago or whatever?
Right. It doesn't matter to me. I just feel bad for the builders that are coming in here and we're saying, well, that's not the correct map. And, you know, it has changed.
I understand. We're
we're
trying to get there.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of the reason why we did this, because we figured as things got developed, it would clean up a lot of them unknown things.
Yeah.
But
if it's not correct.
But it, as the saying goes, poop happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, that's my thought process in adding in that GIS, that cost. I think Stantec said it was pretty cheap. It was like $25-$50 or something. It was not a lot of money, but, you know. And the site plan review, we had talked about taking that out. But then, Megan, you said there was a reason to keep it back in, right? No, or maybe I'm imagining.
On my messy sheet, I have that they were combined.
Okay,
but I could be wrong.
So I'll take that out.
But are you going to add that to the application? Because
well,
that's what we had talked about too. Is
that that's
since
the thing,
we do it all at the same time.
Let's talk about this, okay? Yeah, I agree. You know, I completely agree with that. That we really right now, it's kind of one process.
Right.
Right. They apply. It goes to town engineer, whomever that may be, and we go through the whole process kind of seamlessly. So there's not like, okay, that's the application fee, and now we're going to do the site plan if you give us another fee. So if we take the averages from Stantec did this review of Candia, Chester, Allenstown, Auburn, Deerfield, Danville, Sandown. The average for a site plan review and a subdivision application is $2,500 for a major site plan review.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll take that site, you know, take that site plan review off. So the question is,
so that
at 800, Are we too low?
I know that on July 18th of 24, we crossed out 100 and 150 for the application and made it be 400 and 800.
Correct.
But then I also have us crossing out the site plan review, which were 75 and 200. So I'm not sure.
We're going up quite a bit.
Right.
Right. And so I'm not, you know, in typical, I'm not like we need to go to, you know, 1500, you know, whatever. I'm just throwing this out there. And as Kevin, I'll make your point for you, Kevin, because I know you're going to get there. These are arbitrary numbers as they are. Right. We have no empirical grounds to say why we should charge, you know, $1,500. It's just a number.
I just will have you know that if my wife was here, we'd be getting the AID in play, because I could pull this thing and say that I had this record from a year ago, because that's so not me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had my notes too, and I had the thing scratched out. Yeah, so I mean, I'm okay with these numbers. We certainly, if the board feels we should go higher, we can.
We did talk a lot about that, and I think the consensus was that just because everybody else was high, we didn't have to go there.
That high.
Yeah.
Right. That high. But I think we're still the lowest.
Yeah, at least it's not, well, not, you know, Chester for, well, there, Auburn is 800 and Deerfield's 800 for the application. Danville is 375 and Danville is 1,000 for the site plan review. So they're 1,375 total. And Chester is like $2,200 total. So I mean, we're not, and I don't think we're giving away the candy store.
Right. I think we looked at all of them. Yeah. Didn't go high. Didn't go low. But did raise it enough to be first at times.
You know, I know those were the numbers we all decided on. But I just, hopefully, we're going to approve this tonight so we can get this in place. I just wanted to throw it out there one more time for discussion.
For sure.
I mean, it's easy to start thinking that, oh, we should be taking the subdivision and adding site plan review, but we do it once, so it's not really two processes, so that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to double, increase it by that much.
I'd rather, you know, not have that, because we don't go through that process, and if we wanted to reclaim that money, I'd rather put it up there in the application fee.
Yeah.
If that's, you know, but you know, even if you added our two together before, we're well under this 800 number.
Right.
Right.
But even in our regulations, there is a site plan review section. So that should still be kept, because that's...
Oh, yeah. This is just the fees.
Right.
You know, I think...
So to have it separated, it's delineating what that money's for,
right,
as well as the application.
Right. Our combined total before was 350.
Right.
So we've gone from 350 to 800. Yeah.
How long ago was that done, though? 300.
times
have changed.
I don't know when that was done.
Yeah. Could have been done in the 80s.
Well, this says revision of 7/18/24. Right. Now, I don't know when that particular number was changed. Right,
because I don't think anything was done.
So just
nothing was reviewed.
I don't remember ever talking about these before at this level. So, okay, again, I just wanted to throw it out there. Right?
I just have a question on the fire department inspection fee. They only inspect a major subdivision. They don't do minor subdivisions.
Yeah, because minors can maximum of 3 single family houses.
Okay.
Right, so those would just be standard building inspector inspections, right? Major subdivision. Even like if you did, like, you know, a major subdivision and it was individual houses, he's probably not going to do an inspection because it's going to be done by the building inspector.
All right.
Or he probably look more, just look at the plans, verify whether, you know, make his normal.
Right, but this is a this is an on-site inspection. So this is if you're building a, you know, a retaining, you know, dry well, whatever, you're doing sprinklers, knox boxes, stuff like that. That's what that's, and you're not going to see that in a minor subdivision.
All right. Yeah.
Right. I could change that from major subdivision.
No, it's...
no, I'm just saying if required. Because I'm just, it dawned on me as I was having that discussion, a commercial application is probably going to require an inspection by the fire inspector.
Right.
Because he's going to check the knox boxes and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Is commercial by definition major or not?
No. Not if they're not subdividing. You know, they, get, they get their whole other thing. Or maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
That's a great question.
No, I don't have any good books with me.
In the back of my mind, it is.
You did
but that's just last time. Me thinking. I don't know for sure.
You know,
but it would make sense.
I think it makes sense. Throw it in there. Maybe we'll never use that provision. And that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Major subdivision, I'll just change it to if required. Right?
Mm-hmm. Not major.
I'll just change it to that.
Okay.
Because that way they're recovered on both sides.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Or when required. Not if. I like definitive. No wiggle room.
Yeah.
Well, but...
when?
Well, if required, it's if we require.
Yeah, we require. Yeah. But, yeah, yeah.
Oh, if and when.
My words.
I don't really care. No.
All right, if you want to mix it up, let's get a lawyer involved.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, God. That's another $150.
Yeah.
I will have to clean this up a little bit, but I was in college, and I was taking a night class, and the guy was a part-time instructor, and during his daytime job, he worked for a private investment firm, right? You know, buying businesses and stuff. And he was oftentimes drunk during our class because he'd gone out to a business dinner, you know, showed up at 7 o'clock, lit up like a Christmas tree. He was the best professor I had in college because he was real world. I mean, he was still living in the real world, right? And we're talking some marketing stuff, and he goes, so what does contract business bring to the marketplace that nothing else brings to the marketplace? And somebody went, lawyers. And he goes, right. Lawyers, those mofos. Byron Menendez, man, I have kept that one with me forever. Must have had a bad day with a lawyer. So anyway,
we all.
Yeah, anybody who's been divorced certainly has. So the single asterisks say due with application. Obviously, the application fees. I have also asterisked the boundary line adjustment, so if someone's doing a boundary line adjustment, they should pay that fee, I think, with the application, so we're not chasing them down. Driveway permit. Now, maybe that's not with an application. I'm double-thinking myself here. Maybe that's not with an application. That would be with the building permit.
Right.
I was going to ask, because...
yep.
I wasn't sure if this driveway permit was different than if someone were to just, get a driveway permit through Jeff. So if it is through that, then, and it's also $50 now.
What's 50?
Mm-hmm. I double checked when I saw this.
Okay. So up that to 50. Cause I thought we talked to Jeff and okay. Yeah, it's fine. All right. Gravel pit permit, that should be at the time of application. And that's all I got. Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good with that?
Yep.
So do we make motions to say accept it with the changes that you've...
correct, with the edits we just made. And that we will remove fees and just say Appendix C... in the subdivision regulations, the major site plan regulations, and the minor site plan review regulations. Make sense? Kevin's got the motion.
I'll second that.
All right.
Did I actually make a motion?
Yeah, you probably.
You sounded pretty good.
I implied the motion.
I think that was cool. You made the motion and then I added.
Okay.
You started it.
Yes. Okay.
Right. And then just out in the air. It's like, okay, we'll take it.
I kicked the stone downhill and it went off from there.
Well, we just wanted to make sure that we're authorized to make those changes too. That's all. Judy.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right. So now, next on the agenda, you know, we had talked when Brian Ruoff left, and I mentioned this before, when Brian Ruoff left, we talked about reviewing and talking with other engineering firms, and at the time we couldn't do it because we had a couple of major applications in front of us. I reached out to four different people, very knowledgeable in this world. And every one of them mentioned one firm first, and that was Keach & Nordstrom. And two people said, they're the guys you want. So I did reach out to Keach & Nordstrom, did have a great conversation with Steve Keach. He sent me I got it yesterday, but I wasn't around. He sent me how many freaking pages? Like 30 some odd pages. I gave you, I had Megan today just print off 14. partially to not burden you, and also I called you at like 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon.
No,
and I just was like, I don't want poor Megan to have to be dealing with that at such short notice. So
looks qualified.
Yeah.
You know, and he's if you look at his personal resume on the back end of this. You know, he's not only the president and founder of the company, but he's also the State of New Hampshire Housing Appeals Board. He's a teacher at Hampshire Technical Institute. He's involved in a bunch of organizations. He has been a member of the Merrimack Planning Board. He's been a town moderator in Merrimack. He understands this business from kind of a bunch of different angles. And I highlighted some things here. Hopefully I... Oh, crap. There we go. Did it stick? No, I highlighted a bunch of stuff and I didn't fit.
These two wouldn't be pluses.
I know.
Now that you've traveled the roads.
Well, yeah, he's, and also the other, if you look at, first of all, he says that he is the main point of contact on all town business. He is the guy who reviews everything that goes out and makes sure it's proper and correct. But he's also got number two. He's got four people now that do town work. They have the town work is separated from the work they do for development. He's got a staff of, well,
almost like a separate division, I think.
Yeah. And if you look at some of the towns that they represent, they're kind of right up our, you know, a lot of them are right up our alley. I highlighted it. Here we go. Atkinson, Deerfield, Hampstead, Fremont, Greenville, Moultonboro, Northampton, Pelham, Plastow, Sandown, Thornton, Tilton, Ware, Wyndham. And he has in here individual towns with references. I mean, they've been a town engineer of Sandown since 95.
I don't see anything of with GIS.
I asked him that. He does not do GIS.
Okay, because that's...
Yes. Now, it's a separate agreement, and, you know, I've got to get together with Amy and look at the agreements, but it's a separate agreement than the town engineer agreement for the GIS. But still, I'm not happy with the work they've been doing with that.
No.
So...
Well, the lack of work.
Yeah. So Steve Keach told me that he thought that Southern Hampshire planning to do it, and Nate and I last week went back and forth on email. We just haven't talked together on the phone. He said they do some GIS, they do GIS work, but he wanted to get the GIS person on the phone with me. So.
Okay. Do they use any other software for maps, town maps, this company? So if they're not using GIS,
GIS isn't a brand of software. It's just global information system. Global. It's a term for mapping.
Okay.
So does
he have experience doing that?
Well, Southern Hampshire Planning has a GIS dude.
Okay. So that would be then another subcontract. We would be paying Southern
Hampshire
to do.
Possibly them instead of.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And if nothing else, Southern Hampshire Planning can tell me where to go look.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
As
long as that ball's not getting dropped.
Ball's not getting dropped.
Right.
It's just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It hasn't moved yet, but, you know.
I just remember it was used by a lot of departments back in Danvers, as it was even used for our department in the Board of Health.
Yep.
So
yeah.
it's something that, you know.
Anything with map that involves a map is GIS.
Yeah, okay.
One of the other things I noticed, which I didn't, well, you got his resume, which, again, is pretty impressive. And the other guy, Jeffrey Cork, has been with him a while. Before that, he was assistant town engineer for Wilmington, Mass. He was City of Springfield senior civil engineer from 92 to 2006. But it's okay, Brian. He's a native boy. He's a Granite Stater, and he's got his degree from UNH. Mm-hmm. But as I scroll down here too, and I didn't have her printed out, but one of the things I like, he gave some examples of their you know, the engineering review. Like
the process that they use, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked about the process, and one of the things, and that's in here, one of the things it says about the process is that within 2 days he will do a summary review of the application, and let the board know, and let the applicant know
what
his findings of the summary, right, which might be, hey, guys, you know, you missed a whole bunch of stuff, right?
That's a pretty fast turnaround.
Right.
That is,
and he said the full review will be done within 10 to 13 days. So that's a pretty good turnaround. Right, but I like the idea of doing a summary.
Yeah.
So that we and the applicant will know right up front if...
Up our office.
This is major issue.
This is a poop show, or, you know...
Come back when it's done.
We're right, you know. I'm judging by the way this guy talks... I'm sure he would tell them, you know, look, guys, I looked at this thing. You ain't even close. You really want to spend the money for me to tell you every little thing, or do you want to go back and take another look at it?
Yeah.
Right? Which, that's great. But then, under his comments, unlike what we just got for the solar farm, he breaks them down. You know, general comments, zoning matters. You know, planning and design matters. Engineering matters. He breaks it down by individual pieces so you can focus in on the things that really matter.
Okay.
So that was when I saw this, I'm like, oh, let me just take a look at these. And they are, you know, this one says zoning compliance,
application completeness recommendations. You know, he has nice...
Nice part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have Megan email this out to you. I just didn't want to print 35 pages. It is pretty impressive. So, if you guys are okay with it, I'm going to reach out to him and say we are interested and have him come in for a discussion.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does that all seem to make sense?
Yep.
It does.
In parallel, I'm going to work on the GIS situation. Because we, you know, listen, with Stantec right now, we have 2 years' worth of GIS funds encumbered. As you said earlier, we got... And we've got like $15,000 or $20,000 worth of HOP grant money encumbered. And we've got zero.
That was the whole reason for going with the GIS, just so we could get things cleaned up and have an accurate way of defining things and working with it.
And we ain't there.
And we ain't there.
So, yeah, I thought this was a pretty nice piece of documentation.
Good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And again, based on what I heard from talking to these four people, it's like, you know, we can look further, but when you ask four people, each one of the four people recommends these folks. And two of them go, that's the guy you want. Yeah. You know, when Tom Severino and Nate Miller go, that's the guy you want. Those are two voices I kind of value. It wasn't like, you know, Fletcher down at the hardware store. You know,
Fletcher knows everything. I don't know.
So that's all I had.
I have something to share.
Okay.
You know how we redo regulations and things like requirements? Well, I learned something about lighting, night lighting, and you know how we want it always to go down or not have so much that you destroy the night light. Anyway, I thought this was kind of interesting about night pollinators. Many pollinators work at night, like moths. 10-to-1 ratio moths to butterflies. So when we see butterflies during the day, there's 10 times more moths at night out there pollinating. And, you know, we're already losing pollinators. You always hear about, you know, pesticides and everything, taking away the pollinators, the bees and all that. So it's important that we protect them. Regular white lighting used at night can reduce the night pollinating insects by 60%. Wow. So all those little lights that you see, it says they, let's see if I put it, we can easily address this problem and reduce these fatalities by installing the yellow bug lights, which are readily available at hardware stores. So just something, and I said, you know, it doesn't have to be a requirement, but when people come, they show the lighting on their plans, we could encourage, hey, the yellow. It's like a no-brainer, and it would really help the situation.
Well, I think going off of that, it's in the regulations, so we can't change it without going to the town. But I think in our next change on the regulations, we should probably add something about lighting to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we don't have that now. And every time somebody comes in and says, hey, I don't want to put lighting in, we're like, yeah, good, we're good with that.
Right, but to also say, and the yellow light will help with all the ones you're killing at night, because it says, you know, you always wonder, why are these moths going towards the light? And they are somehow attracted, and then they get disoriented, right. And then they're dying, you know? And actually, I'm going to have this at Old Home Day, and maybe even have an example of a yellow light. But these are some of the moths you probably don't see, but you do see once in a while during the day. The Luna and the Cecropia.
Yeah, those things are
huge.
Yeah, this one is bigger yet, you know?
But the yellow lights don't emit, we have them in our bath, but the yellow lights don't emit.
Some kind of...
Well, it doesn't emit enough light. If say, what is the purpose of lights in the subdivision? Is to be able to, for safety or whatever.
Right, well, you but can probably get really different, you can get different intensities.
Intensities.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it, whoever was, you know, doing the study was saying it's just as efficient at night as far as illuminating what you want to see, but it won't be destroying the pollinators.
So it must be a higher illumination because we just have the light bulbs.
Yeah, and then you could get LED yellow, and then really cooking.
Really,
they
come in
LEDs. You know, I think with the LED, they all went bright white, right? Versus, you know, the street lamps and stuff. They were really bright, so white. So that's an interesting...
They would be yellow. I don't know if I've seen them yellow.
I don't know either, but just something to think about, because I was like, whoa. First of all, I didn't know the ratio of moths to butterflies, and I just love all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what's happening?
Huh. Never really given much thought, but you're right. You go outside at night, if you have a front door light, and it's just...
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
One thing that they mentioned, Logan's guy mentioned that... The ZBA, it said one advice that they had provided was for their community building to have it be motion-sensed light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because they're trying to preserve
sense.
Night sky in the neighborhood. So a lot of times, motion sensing is so, it makes so much sense. Right?
Yes.
You only need it when you need it, right?
Right,
and
if
so that's could be something that is advocated for as well. It's like,
You don't need
light when you need light.
Exactly.
And,
only when, you know, that intruder's coming, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's
yellow.
That's a good point. Let's keep those things in mind when we, you know, the next time we do put something to the voters, right, that we include that, because I think those are good.
Right.
It's funny.
It's what we want. We don't want bright light.
I have a fairly long driveway, and we had a thing where we're having people over our house at night, and, like, during the winter, it's dark at 5 o'clock, so... Parking's at the top of the driveway, so people are going up there in the pitch black, and I talked to an electrician to, like, wire something. It was, like, thousands of dollars. And on Amazon, for about $40, I got a motion-sense LED solar that I stuck on the telephone pole, and it's
perfect.
It's like,
right, because if they don't know your driveway, and it's like, where are we going?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, the new... Is it the Reed, I think, is putting in the house on Diamond Hill?
Yeah,
he's electric. He's got conduits all going all the way up. There's a huge driveway. So it looks like he's going to put some type of lighting all the way up the driveway, too.
What's the guy with the Israeli flag there on North? That guy has more lights. Wow. I've never seen that many lights in there.
I can't remember.
How about we adjourn? Should we adjourn?
That's a good point.
Can we get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Yeah.
Second. All those in favor?
All those in favor.
Yay.
Aye.
Hit the button.
I'm in. Thank you.